So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, with our guest today, Denise Wakeman. I'm very, very excited to have Denise with us. She's someone whose work I've been following for a bit and who I admire and really has a wonderful presence, great content. And so I am really pleased to have her here with us. And we're going to get all kinds of great stuff about business blogging today. So before we get started, let's just take a moment to connect and create an intention around our hour together. So if you've been seated all day or glued to your phone or your computer, take a break and just stand feet hip-width apart. Take a nice deep breath. And on the exhale, just relax your knees, relax your shoulders, and just kind of feel the eye in your body. Your body has all kinds of information for you. So on this call, you're going to hear things that are going to feel like a hit, an aha, and you're going to feel them in your body mostly. And that's when you know something's for you. And that means that that something for you is something that you can take right now and apply and implement in your business. And those of us who are on this call are all about being business in a different way, more aligned, more in integrity, more in service, and aligned with who we really are. And so with Denise today, we're really going to get an opportunity to tap into how we can be our business in our blogging. So take a nice deep breath. And exhale again. And just know that you're going to get what's for you. And make sure that you've got something handy to write on and capture those juicy bits. So, for those of you that may not know Denise yet, or for those of you who definitely know her and are part of her community already, welcome. Denise is an online marketing advisor and founder of the Blog Squad. She helps service professionals and small business owners leverage blogs for their business, as well as strategically use social media tools to boost online visibility, getting you more traffic, leads, customers, and opportunities. Denise writes regularly on 3 marketing blogs, and she's a contributing author on Social Media Examiner, and she frequently speaks at conferences and workshops about business blogging and how to gain expert status through social marketing. She's been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, the Huffington Post, Newsday, Canada's National Post, Fast Company Online, as well as many other on- and offline publications. And I know that you're also part of this big summit on social media that's occurring. So
I am.
Wow. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you so much, Adela. I'm really excited to be here, and I am honored that you invited me to speak with your audience, because I hear that you've got a great community.
Yeah, these folks are really eager to bring a level of business and consciousness to their work that is extraordinary. And so folks like you are instrumental and helping them get the tools and the information that they really need that they can take and implement. So I'm really excited to have you here. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. For sure. So, you know, I know that this is one of those things everybody hears, you know, you need a blog, you need a blog, you need a blog, you need a blog. Now, some of the folks here are brand spanking new beginners. Some folks are in business already, and some folks are doing extraordinarily well. Can you just real quickly just let us know why, if you're in business, you have to have a blog?
That's a good place to start, and that's where I do like to start. And I know that there's probably every level here, because that's typically what audiences are like that I speak to. So if you already have a blog, fantastic, great, I'm thrilled. And, of course, more and more people are getting blogs. But there are people who don't have a blog yet, and so I'd like to just that's a great place to start is to, you know, why. And if you do follow me on Facebook or Twitter, or you read my blog at buildabetterblog.com, you know that my primary message is that your business blog really should be the hub or home base for your online activity. And those reasons could take up an hour by themselves. So I'll just make a few points. In 2009, the site technorati.com, which is the largest blog directory on on the web. They index something like, 130 million blogs, but they do a survey every year called the State of the Blogosphere, and in 2009, 2,900 bloggers were surveyed. And of those, there's a classification of bloggers called professional bloggers, and those that includes people like us who are self-employed, coaches, consultants, speakers, authors, as well as people who blog for companies, so business bloggers. And some of the benefits that were stated about why they're blogging, and this really reinforces everything I've been saying for the last 5 or 6 years, is that as a result of business blogging, 71% said that they had greater visibility in their industry. 63% said clients had purchased products or services as a result of their connection on their blog. 56% say their company is now regarded as a thought leader. And 40% said that they've been asked to speak at conferences. So that's a huge, visibility play right there. And what happens is that a blog, and we'll talk about some of the specifics around blogging, but a blog really allows you to curate the experience your audience will have around you, like who you are. They get to experience who you are and what you have to offer. And a blog really, it helps. A blog in and of itself is a sticky experience. And by that I mean that rather than just come on, land on your page, read a few bullet points and move on, if you are providing valuable, useful, relevant content that speaks to your target audience's needs, people will stick around. They'll stay around. They'll read. They'll watch videos. They will click and comment. So it's a it's a vehicle to help people stick to your site. It also helps you become much, much more findable. And that is key, because if you cannot be found online, if your business cannot be found, you do not exist. Mm-hmm. Because everybody goes online to find solutions to their problems. Nobody hardly ever uses the yellow pages anymore. I mean, do we even, they're like doorstops at my house. It's like when one lands on my front porch, I'm like going, why are they still delivering this? Don't I get that option to say no? But anyway, so people are going online to find you. And if you can't be found, then your business really doesn't exist, and it's much more difficult. And one of the things that I really like, I don't know who coined this, so I can't give credit, but that blog stands for Better Listings on Google, B-L-O-G, Better Listings on Google.
That's great.
Really helps you become findable because they are searchable. There is this content that is being indexed by the search engines, and so when people use keywords to search for solutions to their problems, if that's what you're writing about, if that's what you do, then it's a good chance that your site will come up in the search results. It also helps you create layer upon layer of content. So, for example, I've been writing on my blogs. I have two primary blogs that I write on. I've been writing on them since 2004. That is thousands of pages of content, because every blog post creates a new page on your blog site. So that is thousands of pages of content that is layer upon layer, because everything keeps building and building as I evolve, as my business evolves, as ideas evolve. So it creates a very rich experience. And, of course, you get much more than a snippet or 140 characters that something like Twitter allows you.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't get me wrong. Twitter is an important tool to use, but you get a much deeper experience on a blog, and you get to go in-depth with your commentary, with what you know, with how you can serve and share resources, content, ideas, etc. And your blog can really become an island for a community. It becomes a place where people are constantly they're coming back over and over, and they begin to comment and interact with you. And you can have that interaction on other sites, too, like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. But in the end, you don't own those sites. You have no control. You are there at their pleasure, and they can take that away from you at any moment. It has happened to many people that, their sites on their pages and profiles get hacked, or Twitter goes down. I mean, they, just the other day, Twitter had a glitch in their system, and every single person went to 00 on followers and following.
Well, and it also
that happened to every single person.
Wow.
They were able to restore that. But, you know, I've had my sites hacked. I've had my Twitter account go down for no reason whatsoever. So, you know, you've got to have that real estate on the web that belongs to you. So,
yeah, and it also just I just wanted to point out, you know, you're thinking of places like Facebook and Twitter and these big, you know, these huge social media sites.
Mm-hmm.
Ning is just changing their policy now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a huge shift in Ning. So all those folks who have that content, if
right.
you don't subscribe and pay for the Ning service, it is now gone.
Right. So
yeah.
you function at their whim.
Yeah.
You don't control any of that. So while it's great to be active, and which I absolutely totally promote and advise that you need to be visible on all these big sites for, you know, driving people back to your own site.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your own site on the web, and really the best way to do that is through a blog site.
Yeah, and one that's hosted on your own domain. Those are the ones we're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can host it on a third-party site, but definitely have it mapped to your own domain so that you can move it and don't lose that.
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Yeah. So how about for folks who've because I imagine that a business blog is a little bit different than, you know, like, let's say, you know, a blog that's around your interests. You know I have one on writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different. And I imagine that folks on this call probably have varying levels of success and results with their blogs.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that we should be considering around our business blogs?
Okay, well, the thing with a business blog is that, of course, it's got to be very tightly focused on your business. You know, the difference between a business blog and a personal blog, for example, is that a business blog has to represent who you are as a professional or who your business is. It's got to reflect the branding of your business and the voice of your business and who you are as a professional. You know, a personal blog, I have a personal blog, too, on diet and fitness that I'm not that active on anymore, but when I was going through a journey on going through Weight Watchers, for example, a few years ago, I used it to motivate myself. So I wrote about everything that I was going through, and that was very good for me. Since I'm not as active in that journey, although I need to be, it's a little bit neglected right now. So, and that's a point, is that on a personal blog, I mean, I'm neglecting that somewhat, and so it's not getting as much traffic, and et cetera. But it doesn't matter to me that much because it's not a representation of my business. On my business blogs, I need to be much more careful and consistent about it. Consistency is very key on a blog. When you make that commitment, because it is a commitment, it's a marketing tool. It is a marketing tool that is working for you. And if you're not going to be committed to it, consistent with it, and constant, then that can reflect poorly on your reputation online. Because every day somebody new is going to land on that site. For whatever reason, you don't know. They're coming from all over the place. They're coming from search results. They're coming from Facebook. They're coming from Twitter. If your blog isn't up to date, that can look like maybe you're not paying attention. You don't care. It's not important to you. So consistency and constancy are really important things. So some of the reasons that people aren't getting the results that they'd like to get from their blog boils down to a few things, like infrequent posting, and I generally advise 2 to 3 times a week minimum, and for a number of reasons. One is that the more frequent you post, the more traffic you will get. It's just a natural outcome of that because of the search engines, and you will be growing a more avid audience as well. The other things that another reason is that there's no real involvement with the reader. It's just broadcasting your opinion on everything, you know. And while that is one of the benefits of having a blog, you do want to try to engage your reader in some way. And whether that is through questions, surveys, polls, or commenting, having an active comment section and really encouraging that, you need to really engage your reader and not just be broadcasting what you think about everything. Also, often writers, especially professionals, we went to university or whatever, we're trained to write in a very formal academic way. That doesn't work as well on a blog. You need to be more conversational, use the I and you versus, third person writing. Blogs are much more conversational in nature, and I have noticed many times that people who are very well educated, for example, tend to write in a rather stilted academic way, and that's just not very interesting. And one of the other things that I've noticed is that often people are not, bloggers or professionals who are using a blog aren't making it very clear on how a reader can actually engage with them, like to hire them. So there's no call to action on a blog. And so while your blog might be very interesting and engaging, you may not be seeing the results you want because you're not telling people how they can actually get in touch with you. That's a big thing that I often see is missing. So there's no call to action. There's no page that has products and services. There's no way to get on to the person's mailing list, or there's no database associated with the blog so that you're getting a free report or getting an e-zine or whatever it is, so that you're moving the person from the blog into a database where you can actually follow up.
Yeah, this talk about engagement has me very curious. Because it's one of the things that I hear a lot is people ask me, or I hear them asking, well, how do you get people to comment on your blog? And I wonder how much of that ties into something that you talked about a little earlier, which was about providing valuable, usable, relevant content.
Yes. The content is, everything, really. And that is, that's also the biggest challenge that I hear about. One is people say, I don't have time, and two, I don't know what to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And, both those things, I think, can definitely be addressed and overcome. First of all, on the time issue, you have time for what you make time for. And when you are marketing your business, you need to make time for that. And I think that many people don't make enough time to market their business. They say, oh, I need to serve my client, or I need to go be on Facebook or whatever. But you need to be focused on the activities that will bring results. And posting content on your blog is a marketing task that will work for you 24/7, because the search engines are finding it. They are sending people over through search results. So you need to be constantly building content on your blog. So you need to make time for that. And frankly, I advise, 30 minutes a day. That's not very much time, really, to be building something that has a long-lasting legacy. So you need to post regularly, you need to post frequently, and you need to stay relevant to what your readers want and expect. So some of the things that you want to look at when you're creating content is that you want to educate them, entertain them, engage them, and a lot of that comes down to educating can be how to case studies, Q&A, that kind of thing. What do people want to know? How does your business function? What are the pieces of your business? When people say they don't know what to write about, it's like, well, look at your business. What do you do? How do you work with people? What do you bring to the table? All of that is content for a blog. And often people say, well, I don't want to give it all away. And I can assure you that the more you give, the more you'll get back, because people don't want to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that you know what you're talking about. So if you spell things out and how your product works, what it's for, how you made it, what, you know, if you're talking about, you know, let's say a physical product, why you made it, what solution it provides, people are interested in that. If you are a coach or a consultant, what kind of problems do you solve for your clients? What results have people received? You don't need to give away names if it's confidential, but you could be general about how things work, how you work with people, the kinds of solutions that you provided around a specific client challenge. The other thing is that as a professional, most all of us get emails on a daily basis from people asking us questions. I know I get them all the time. I imagine that you do too, Adela.
Yeah.
Now, how can you turn that around and say, oh, my gosh, these people all want free consulting or whatever, you know? I mean, it certainly goes through my mind when it's like, what do you mean you're asking me this question? This is what I do for a living, you know? And you want me to tell you for free? Well, okay, you know, then I say, all right, okay, how can everybody benefit from this? And you can answer those questions in a blog post, and so that demonstrates that, one, you know, you are a generous, open person, that you care about people's problems, that you can solve them, and it, you know, handles a few things. You can direct that person to your answer on the blog. Other people can learn from that, and you've solved a lot of problems right there. So client questions or prospect questions, I think, make great blog posts.
Yeah, and I think too that one of the places where we get stuck, which comes back to this commitment piece that you were talking about earlier about, you know, give your blog 30 minutes a day is, you know, what is it, what purpose do you want your blog to serve? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You really do need to be clear on what you want from the blog and, you know, why are you blogging? Now, everybody has a different reason. You know, maybe it's to establish yourself as a thought leader, to build your credibility online. Maybe it's to actually create the content for a book or a product. I mean, and that's a phenomenal tool. It's a phenomenal tool for doing that. Because if you write, you know, a few paragraphs a day, you're going to have a book in a couple of months. I mean, very, very likely. I mean, many people have done that over and over and over again. So what is the purpose? Is it to build your list? I mean, that's a very valid reason to have a blog as well, but you need to be very clear about that's the end result. So if your goal is to build a list, you need to be clear about what you are, the purpose has to align with that goal. So that's something that I often work with my clients beforehand is, you know, what is the purpose, what are the goals, and also who is your target reader? Generally, it's going to be the same as your target client, I would say, unless you're doing something completely off from what your business is. And of course, you know, people can definitely have different reasons for doing blogs, as I've said. But the more clarity you have about who that audience is, who that reader, that one reader is, that's your ideal client, what their needs and wants and their problems are, then the more relevant your content will be, and that's who you're going to attract. Because, of course, your blog is designed to attract the right people to you and, you know, have the other people, you know, self-select themselves away from you. What was that? Deselect them. I don't know what word I'm trying to come up with. But the people who are attracted to you are going to
self-select.
They're going to self-select. Thank you.
Yeah.
And those who don't want you, they're going to go away, and that's okay. That's okay. You don't want them, you know. So the more clear you are about that, and also staying focused, really focused on that. And it's easy to get to go off on tangents and that sort of thing. I certainly, you know, have that challenge from time to time. And a good way to bring people back or bring yourself back to that is to ask your readers what they want from you, because they'll tell you. So, you know, and you can do that through polls and surveys, you know, ask on Twitter. Twitter's a great resource for doing research. You know, and also on Facebook, too.
Yeah, because people really, they want to engage on those mediums, so they will definitely tell you what they think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, market research is so easy now with tools like Twitter and Facebook and your blog. It's so easy.
Yeah. One of the things you were talking about earlier was about making it conversational and not like this professional kind of feel. Can you speak a little bit, and you also talked about engaging and entertaining your readers. Can you tell us some of how we can do that in terms of bringing our own voice, our own personality into our blogs?
Sure, sure. When I talk about, let's talk about entertaining. That's mm-hmm. one of the four E's I talk about. So there's educate, entertain, engage, and also enrich. So those are kind of the four things I look at around content. So entertaining is, you know, beyond the obvious of it, you know, being wanting to keep people, you know, laughing or whatever. entertaining is about really being who you are. And there are many ways you can do this. And one of the easiest way to really grab people is through video. You know, video is inherently entertaining just because of the medium. We're used to watching TV, et cetera. So video really can step that up a notch into, even if it's a talking head video, you know, where you're just talking, because at least people can, like, see your body language, they can hear your tonality, they can see your facial expression. And a really great example of someone who not only entertains but educates and engages through video is Gary Vaynerchuk. You may know who he is.
Yeah.
at winelibrary.tv. And he's also the author of the book Crush It, which is a great book, which I recommend, about how to cash in on your passion. And Gary does a video blog. He doesn't write blog posts. He does video posts. So, again, for those of you who aren't comfortable with writing, video may be a great option for you. And he does a video post every single day at winelibrary.tv. And the guy is out there. I mean, he's just crazy out there and very, very passionate about wine. He owns a wine company that he took from $10 million to $50 million in, you know, a few years. And a large part of that was through social media. And he just says it like it is. He's very raw, and some people don't like that, but more people love it than don't. So I'm not advocating being like Gary unless that's who you are, but being who you are is and really just whether you're quiet or whether you're just out there, putting it on video, putting yourself on video, and it's very easy these days. Very, very simple processes these days. You don't need to be a video editor or cinematographer. You know, very simple tools now, but it really helps with that engagement. The other thing is about being entertaining is telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a writer, Adela, I'm sure you can relate to this,
yeah.
But really using story and metaphor to get your point across, telling your own personal stories, that can be very, very powerful way to engage and entertain your reader as well. As far as educating, I talked about doing Q&A and how-to posts are very, very popular. They're among the most popular and retweeted kinds of posts that you can write, but also case studies. Anytime you can explain something or teach somebody how to do something, and whether it's through video or through written text or through screenshots, I mean, that's a great way, too, is using images to really get to the heart of the matter. Anytime you can do that, that's really going to deeply engage your audience as well.
Yeah, you know, one that I've seen a lot, which I guess can be kind of like a how-to, can be like a series. I've seen
mm-hmm.
people do these.
Yeah.
those are...
A series is a great way to build continuity with your audience as well.
Yeah.
And so if there's something that you teach, for example, you can do a 5-part or a 10-part series because you don't want to do a 5,000-word blog post. Nobody would read it. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah.
But if you did, 500 words a day, essentially, I'm just saying that for a general number, but, you know, do 5 parts or 10-part series, and you build anticipation. What's the next part? What's the next part? What's the next part? And that's a great way to keep your audience coming back and teaching them something.
Yeah, and in the vein of kind of storytelling, our friend Ellen is really like her audio booth. She's doing them in audio
mm-hmm.
booths, but we can also do this on blogs.
Mm-hmm.
She'll take like an everyday experience or an occurrence, and then she'll relate it to some aspect of her business.
Absolutely. And that's always the key on a business blog
mm-hmm.
is that you don't want to necessarily talk about what you had for breakfast. I mean, that's kind of the stereotype. the early days of blogging was, you know, journaling, you know, everything you did, however mundane. But if there's something that you can then make a point, so maybe talking about what you had for breakfast, you can turn it into a teaching point.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellen, you know, definitely, she's a great example of how she does that with her audio booths, and she does that in 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do that most definitely with a blog post. Is anything that you can relate to a really, you know, just something that's really, I don't want to say mundane, but, you know, just always bringing back those common experiences to how you can learn and grow and how it relates to your business and, you know, if it's a metaphor for something that you do with your clients.
Yeah. Since we're on these already, I wondered if you could explore a little bit more the other two, because we've talked a bit about educate and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go into the engage and enrich, those elements of a successful blog.
Yeah, engagement really is about getting someone to do something
mm-hmm.
on your blog, you know, and actually taking some sort of action. Because that's what brings them one step closer. Because anytime a reader, you know, clicks a link or they post a comment or they take a poll, they stop being passive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing them into your world. And when you bring them into your world, that brings them one step closer to, you know, getting on your mailing list or signing up for a teleseminar or hiring you. So, you know, a lot of ways to do that, as I had mentioned, were polls and surveys. For example,
mm-hmm.
I put a poll on one of my blogs yesterday at biztipsblog.com, and I said, if you could only use one social media tool, because let's say, just for the sake of argument, there's so many, you know, you can spend hours on Facebook, you can spend hours on Twitter, you can spend time on LinkedIn, but let's say you don't have the time and resources to do that every day. If you could only use one, what would it be? And I eliminated blogs because blogs are non-negotiable in my world. But, you know, I posted that on my blog. I posted on Twitter. I posted on Facebook. And I've got almost 100 people who are participating, who've taken the poll, who've commented in all those venues. So people have commented on the blog. They've commented on Facebook. They've commented on Twitter. You know, sent me replies, and they were retweeting it. And that starts the conversation. Then I can respond to those people. And some people said that, oh, this is totally ridiculous. They're all totally different. You need them all. I said, but it's just a hypothetical, man. You know?
Some people get really, really serious about this stuff.
I'm not saying I'm taking away your toys, you know. But it enabled an opportunity to engage. And people gave some very thoughtful reasons, because I said, please post a comment as to why you've chosen that tool.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just say, take the poll. I said,
right.
Please post a comment about why. Now, most people didn't, but probably 25% did.
Right.
So that does a couple of things. One, that gets them engaging with me. Now I can talk back to them. I know who they are. I can respond. I can comment back. It also creates more content on the blog, because every comment gets added to that page that that blog post is on, and that means that the search engine comes back again to re-index that page, and it shows activity.
Yeah.
And so that brings more people in. And with all the tools that we have now with social media, when you combine that with your blog, so somebody comments on my blog, they can post that comment onto Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows it to more people, you know. So it sort of amplifies the whole message and brings even more people back into your community, into your world. So that's what engagement is about, is asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't ask for the engagement. They just write their stuff and wonder why nobody comments. You've got to ask.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point that you made earlier, because I think that sometimes, I know I've made that mistake in the past, that I thought of my blog as a broadcast. Here I am saying what I think and what I feel and, you know, the things I want to say. And it wasn't so much of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And these elements really bring in the conversation piece.
Right. And you need to let people know how to be part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you and I have a blog and maybe everybody we know has a blog,
mm-hmm.
somebody new landing on your site may not have a blog, and they just see a site with some content, and they read it and they move on. But if you say, you know, what do you think of XYZ, or how has this affected your life, click on the comment link below and share your story.
Mm-hmm.
You give a direct call to action. That will make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the mistakes that we make, too, is that it's not so intuitive. People just
mm-hmm.
don't know what to do.
That's right.
On the web, you have to tell them what you want them to do.
Absolutely, and it may seem very basic, but even for people who do know what to do, without being told, they may not think it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might say, yeah, I know how to leave a comment, but if you just say, hey, click on the comment link and tell me your story, it's like, oh, yeah, they want my story. Okay, I'll do it. I'm not saying, why are they telling me how to make a comment?
Yeah, and I think also, too, Denise, what I'm hearing is that it's an invitation.
Exactly.
You're like saying to them, hey, man, let me know what you think.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, come on in.
This is my home. Come
yeah.
on in. Let's
yeah.
have tea together and have a chat.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. So how about the last one, enrich?
Enrich. Okay, well, enrich is a little bit more complex. This is about how do you make your content valuable to your reader? How do you create a better place for them? How can you make their life better? So how can you save them time or save them money or save them energy or add value in some way? A couple of blogs that I read that always enrich my life or enrich my business, I should say. One is copyblogger.com.
Oh, yeah.
A great, fantastic blog, fantastic blog.
Love it.
I read it almost every day. I mean, they post every single day, and I read it every day.
Yeah.
And Web Inc. Now by David Meerman Scott, another great blog. He's the author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR. Anyway, so think about how you can add value to your reader. So a couple of ways you can do this, add history to your post. Fill it out with the background about whatever it is that you're writing. Tell readers how it used to be, what happened before, how it is now. That's one way. You can build more richness into your post by adding quotes. This helps build your credibility of an expert. It helps, you know, kind of alert your readers to where they can go for more information, what books they can be reading. Quoting respected authorities also helps enrich your content. Do interviews. Add your own perspective. We've talked about that a little bit, about adding your own experience and stories. That really helps enrich. And, you know, very often there's an overlap between all these E's, you know, these educate,
mm-hmm.
entertain, enrich, and educate. No, did I say that? Anyway. you know, they flow from one to another.
Uh-huh.
And when you, you know, a great post, I'm not saying every post maybe hits the mark on all of this. Certainly I know mine don't, but, you know, it's something to strive for, at least catching a couple of those E's. But when you're adding your own perspective and experience, that can, you know, not only help educate and entertain, but it can also enrich their life because they're getting, you know, an illustration of a concept and how it can actually apply in the real world. That's very, you know, it makes it personal when you're teaching something that way. So those are just a couple of examples.
Cool. Thanks. I wanted to backtrack just a little bit, considering the newbies.
Okay.
So if somebody hasn't started a blog yet,
mm-hmm.
how would you direct them?
Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. First of all, before setting up the blog, I mean, that's always where people want to start, but
mm-hmm.
I would say that it's better to step back a little bit and first do some research. Find other blogs in your niche or your industry, your field, and see what they're doing. And a great resource for that is alltop.com, and that's like a curated site of every kind of topic that people are blogging about, and it's pretty much the best of the best. So go to alltop.com and do some keyword research. And, you know, if you write about health and wellness, you can go to the health, you know, click on H, and then find all the health blogs. And start looking at what other people are doing and what they're writing about. And find some blogs that just really resonate with you, that you just think are really terrific. And subscribe to them and start reading them on a regular basis. Find out, you know, figure out, you know, through that research who's really active and start participating on that blog. So you subscribe to the blog, you start reading the blog, and start leaving comments. Start engaging with that blog author.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have your own blog before you start commenting on other blogs. So start participating with other people in your industry who are blogging. And that, you know, helps do a number of things, like bring you to their attention so that when you do have your own blog, they're going to, you know, want to return the favor and come visit you and see what you're up to. And that helps you get in the just sort of the groove of what blogging is about, that whole blogging habit. And it helps, you know, create your reputation too. Then you want to think about, of course, the purpose and the goals. Why do you want to do this blog? What's the goal? Is it to write a book? Is it to build your list? Is it to attract new clients? What is it that you want the blog to do? And then take a look at what your topic is going to be. This is generally around what you do for your business, for most people. And keep it pretty tight and focused. So the reason I have two primary blogs is because they're a little bit different. One is Build a Better Blog, and that is only about business blogging.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much don't write about anything else. I mean, I might do, you know, something about Facebook as it ties into blogging, you know, how to connect your blog to Facebook or something like that. And then my other one is on online marketing, because that's what I started out doing. I was an internet marketing consultant before blogging ever was a glimmer in anyone's eye. And so that's kind of broad. I'll give you that. But I don't talk about blogging, even though blogging is an online marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk about blogging on that one. I talk about everything else around online marketing. So I separate them out. So keep it pretty focused on what you want to do. And then come up with, you know, 7 to 10, maybe 12 categories around that topic that you want, that you're going to cover on the blog. Bigger, you know, kind of broader topics around what your main topic is, so subtopics. And then that's going to help keep you focused. And, you know, when in doubt, when you're not sure what to write about, look at one of your categories. Oh, I haven't written about, you know, category X for a while. I'll do something on that. That really helps keep you on track. Then write out your core message. You know, what is the blog about? Who is the blog for? What's in it for the reader? And what do you want to achieve with your blog? So really, you know, think about that. Make a very tight statements, kind of like a tagline,
mm-hmm.
if you will, and try and keep it no more than 25 words, just to really, well, the tagline would be shorter, but, you know, write out that core message, keep it around 25 words, and then build your tagline from that. Then you can choose your blogging platform. You know, then you're going to do that, because I know people will ask about this, you know, well, you know, what blogging platform should I use? You know, should I use Blogger? Should I use WordPress? Should I use TypePad? And, you know, I really say that that depends. I know that everybody will say, oh, WordPress, 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 and WordPress is a fantastic tool, but it's not the right tool for everybody. You do have to be a little bit more technically inclined or have somebody that you're paying to do it, manage it for you. You know, I'm pretty technically inclined, but I have somebody else do my WordPress stuff because it just gets too complicated from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
TypePad is an excellent professional solution. It's where I started, so all my blogs are on TypePad, but I have my own domain on TypePad, but they're hosted by TypePad, and that's a little bit more plug and play. I generally advise staying away from the freebie sites like WordPress.com and Blogger.com only because you don't have as much control over the site. There's not as many options. Blogger's putting in a little bit more options, but in the end, they're free sites and they can do what they want with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TypePad, there is a small fee. WordPress, you host on your own server, so you have more control. So that's what I would look at, you know, how technically inclined are you? Are you going to have somebody else do it? Are you a do-it-yourselfer? There's tons of tools out there, and I'm happy, you know, offline to talk about to anyone about, you know, what's the appropriate tool, or, you know, one of the services I offer is doing it for you, you know, having somebody set it up for you and all that too. So there's different ways to go about it. And then just do it. Take that Nike phrase. Just dive in and start writing. Your competitors are already blogging. Truly, they are, and you need to be doing it too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You just have to dive in, and you have to. And I think part of that is really doing some of this stuff that you've talked about before, putting your energy into doing enough research so that you find, you know, a topic, even if it's around your business, a topic that you really not only have a lot of expertise and experience around, but something that you really enjoy sharing information around.
Right. Well, and, you know, if you're in business, I hope that you enjoy your business.
Yeah.
I hope you do enjoy what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And that's your topic, really, yeah. Is that you want to get the word out. You want to share what you do and how you do it and how you serve people so that you're attracting people to you. And they're going to find you through their content because people are online looking for the solutions to their problem. There are over 1.8 billion people who have access to the internet in this world.
Wow.
You don't need all those people.
you need
a few of them, right?
Just a few of them. Just a few of them.
You need a few to have a thriving business.
Yeah.
But they're online looking for you, and they're going to find you by the content that you're creating.
Right. And if your topic and if your business is really focused, they're going to find you that much quicker.
Exactly. And
yeah.
You know, in your business, you may wear a lot of hats. Well, what's the one where you want to – what's the area of your business that you love doing the most?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the clients you love to work with? Write your blog for them.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. So just moving along a little bit to the folks who may be a little bit more – well, before we do that, now you've got your blog up there. You've sent your family and your friends and some of your colleagues and buddies, you know, they'll go there. How do you really start focusing on getting the word out to, you know, those prospective people that you want to find your blog? How do you get the word out? How do you get traffic, people coming into your site?
Well, you have to promote your blog just like you promote anything else.
Mm-hmm.
While you will get traffic naturally through the search engines,
mm-hmm.
you do need to tell people that you have a blog. So, you know, I generally, if you're just starting out, then I recommend that you wait until you have some content before you really promote it because there's, you know, it's pretty sad to go to a blog and see one blog post. So after you have about 10 blog posts, then just tell the world, tell everybody, tell, you know, send in, if you have an email newsletter, you promote it in your email newsletter. You've got to definitely connect it up to your social networking sites. Make sure that, you know, there's tools that allow you to connect your blog to your Facebook page, to your Facebook profile, and also to your Twitter account, to your LinkedIn account. Make sure that your blog posts are being automatically syndicated to those sites. You don't have to do it manually. This can all be automated. You know, it takes a couple minutes to set it up. Make sure, because people are hanging out on lots of different places, so you want to use those, you know, I call them outposts. I didn't make that up. Somebody else did. But outposts or satellites, whatever you want to call that. People are out there. They don't know you have a blog yet. They don't know you. But if they see your blog post title and it's compelling and it's interesting and it intrigues them and they're on LinkedIn or they're on Facebook and they see that, there's a good chance somebody's going to click through and go read more on your blog, and that's what you want to do. You want to bring them back home to your blog. So you've got to be, you know, you've got to have your content being broadcast everywhere. And there's a gazillion ways to leverage your blog content. That's a whole other story. You know, do that. Make sure there's a link in your signature, your email signature, and also when you do your email newsletter, if you do one, you know, feature a blog post with a link back to the full post. Ellen Britt's doing this in her revamped newsletter, where, and this is a tried and true technique, as you feature, you know, an article, and you put two or three paragraphs in your newsletter, and then a link to the full article on your blog. Great way to get traffic back to your blog.
Yeah, that is a great way to get traffic.
And also, the bonus that I provided for the Conscious Business Telesummit is all about driving traffic.
Fantastic. So, folks,
so
remember,
you don't need to take up any more time on that. Just go grab the bonus.
Fantastic.
It's an interview I did for the Ultimate Traffic Telesummit, and then I added in a bonus chapter on 19 ways to drive traffic to your blog. So. Go grab that.
So, go grab it. It's in the membership area. If you go to the site, consciousbusinesstribe.com, under My Account, you'll see the link there to the VIP bonuses. And Denise's is the first bonus on the page, so you can just grab it quickly. Yeah. So, can we talk a little bit about the offer that you've got? It's a great offer. I was just so struck with it. It was like a no-brainer offer. Like the whole online visibility secrets, I was checking it out and I was like, oh my gosh, this is just so valuable for the price. I was really struck. I just wanted to say that to you. I was like,
well, thank you.
Wow.
You know, this is a program that I developed recently within the last year because I saw a huge need, and it's called Online Visibility Secrets. And there are so many ways to build your visibility on the web, that, like, where do you start? So what I did is I built a 26-week step-by-step program, and it's delivered in the easiest way possible, by email. There's nothing complicated about it. And what it is, you know, if you're ready to attract more opportunities for business, you need to be found online by your ideal clients, by the media, by new joint venture partners. You know, you need to be visible in many more places other than your blog. Your blog is one piece of that, and it's a very critical piece to that. But then how do you get the word out everywhere else? So what I did is that I built this 26-week step-by-step action program, and it's one lesson with, you know, a very simple action step each week. It doesn't go on and on forever. It's 26 weeks, period. That's 6 months. And it's really designed to help you boost your online visibility so that you can get more traffic, more leads, more clients, and more opportunities. And, you know, I talk about, well, blogging, obviously, and how to really leverage your blog. Also, you know, address various aspects of social media and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. Talk about effective blog design, keyword research tips, how to write effective blog post titles, different types of media to use on your blog, using video, how to get more visibility for your events, how to leverage Google, article marketing, podcasting, how to use photos and testimonials. So there's a lot of layers, and each layer builds upon the next layer. And I tried to really keep it as simple as possible because I know we're all really overwhelmed with the amount of information and things that you can do. So, you know, and so it's just like here's one step, do this, next week do this, next week do that. And I have deliberately kept the investment low because I know that there's people who need to get the visibility so they can build their business, and this is my way of you know, really giving back. So the investment's only $27 per month for 6 months. And that also includes four bonus audio programs. But what I decided to do, Adela, for your group is that I'm making the first month only $4.95. So that's pretty good.
That is just...
There's not really much risk there.
Man, there's no risk there. That is an extraordinary offer. You know, and I'll tell you, my head's buzzing from this hour and all the information. And I'm not new to blogging. And there's all these different ideas that I already started jotting down just from our call. So,
oh, great.
No, and I know that part of it is that part of the problem is this overwhelming of great ideas that those of us that are conscious entrepreneurs have, and then the gap in actually implementing them. But, you know, being part of a program like that where you get like this one thing, okay, this week just do this.
Right.
Next week just do this. In 6 months, you've made a huge improvement.
Huge improvement. And the thing is, you know, I could have put it all into an ebook.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been, you know, a 200-page ebook or whatever.
Yeah.
And nobody would have done anything.
Yeah, no, this is a brilliant delivery. See, and this is one of the things that in our own businesses, this is another brilliant stroke on that point, Denise, is, you know, the format in which you deliver things actually makes something possible for someone and can land for them or not.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, this is digestible.
Content, I do it by video, I do it by audio, I do it by written articles. So I deliver it in multiple formats also.
Yeah.
So that, and I'm constantly throughout the lesson saying, watch what I'm doing. Do this. You can do this too. You know.
Right. Right.
So, and there's lots of resources and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah. Plus the bonuses.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of this program.
It's a great program. Well, there is one question here that I didn't ask. So it's from Ruth Ellen in Jacksonville. So maybe we can cover this real quick.
Absolutely.
How important is it to comment? She's actually got two questions here. The first one is, how important is it to comment on others' work?
On other blogs?
I'm imagining that's what she means.
Yeah. I think it's very important. It's an integral part of the whole blogging and visibility strategy that you can employ. When I talk about using, working on your blog 30 minutes a day, say 5 days a week, what I'm suggesting is 3 days a week you're actually writing on your blog, and then 2 days a week you're reading and commenting on other blogs. And this does, you know, a number of things. One, it creates more visibility for you. It also creates a link back to your blog, which potentially creates more traffic to your blog, and it brings you to the attention of the movers and shakers or the people that you want to know. I mean, I would do this strategically. Who are the influencers in your industry? Read their blogs and comment on them. It's going to bring you to their attention, and
yeah,
that can really benefit you in the long run.
I've got a quick question on that. When you say that it links back to your blog, you don't mean that when you comment that you put your blog link in your comment. Or do you?
I do not mean that. Thank you for
for
making that clarification. It is not good blog etiquette to promote yourself in your comment on someone else's blog. However, and people do that all the time, and I always delete that. I always do.
Yeah.
But when you leave a comment, if you haven't left a blog comment before, this is how it works. There's a field for you to put your name. There's a field for you to put a URL, and that's where you put your link to your blog. And then you write your comment, because then what happens is your name is automatically linked to whatever link you put in there, whatever URL. So if it goes to your website, it goes to your blog, it goes to your Facebook fan page, whatever it is, wherever you want to drive people. That's the link that I'm talking about.
Wonderful. Great. Yeah, I just want to make sure, because I've seen
that,
and I'm always like, ooh.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's one of my pet peeves.
I know,
mine
too.
Pet peeves.
Cool. She had another, well, I think it's a question here. Can you share about the new rules about bloggers who promote other products? I'm thinking she's talking about the whole affiliate disclosure.
Yeah, that's the whole FTC thing.
Right.
I have to tell you that I'm not totally up on that because I don't worry about stuff like that too much, only because, you know, I'm not a gigantic, big, huge company. But typically, in general, what they're saying is that you need to disclose if you are an affiliate for something you're promoting. So let's say you are recommending a book and it's linked to your Amazon associate ID. If you just put, you know, affiliate in a parentheses next to that link, you're disclosing that you get an affiliate commission if somebody clicks on the link and buys it. So it's basically about transparency and disclosure. And that's what they're looking for.
Which are good business practices anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for all the details of the law and everything, I would say do a Google search on it because I couldn't tell you all the details. It's very complex and confusing, and so I'm not even going to make that attempt. I apologize.
Well, no, and I think that just by disclosing, I think that we're doing.
That's really what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's really what they're looking for. And I think the other piece that I've heard about is that you can't make quantitative claims if not all
right.
of your clients have experienced it. That's the other
right.
piece. Yeah.
Right. You can't be making crazy claims. This client made $25,000, you know, in 3 days or something
yeah.
like that.
And you could too.
unless that's the actual average that your clients, it really happens.
Yeah. So wonderful. Denise, you are just chock full of information, darling.
I told you, you have to keep me on track.
I know. Well, I think you did fabulous. You gave loads for the whole spectrum of, you know, beginner, intermediate to more advanced folks, and folks can definitely get some hand-holding on implementing some of these strategies, and I'll give them a link by going to www.consciousbusinesstribe.com/visibility-secrets. Again, that link is consciousbusinesstribe.com/visibility-secrets. If you're on the speaker page, you can just click that link. And as usual, I'll send it in a follow-up email so you don't miss out. Denise, thank you so much for being at the Conscious Business Telesummit.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been wonderful to have you here. And thank you, everyone, for being with us here today. And we have another call later on at 4 o'clock. So thank you. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. Blog
on. Thank you. Bye-bye.